I'm going to say, hello, everybody. My name is Martin Suberg. I'm the commissioner of the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection. This is our monthly call with wastewater operators and wastewater systems. This is the call we initiated as a result of the COVID emergency to make sure that we are we're trading notes and identifying issues that are important to all of us and working on them in a timely fashion. A reminder that the call is recorded. We record each of these calls, and what we will do is put a link up on our website where we have the questions and answers and other information for water system operators. Put a link with this recording up on our MassDEP website. As you can tell, I am joined by our assistant commissioner, Kathy Baskin, who not only has oversight of all the water programs at DEP, she's also the person that's figured out how to make this work on the Zoom platform, and we're very appreciative of that. We also have Weldon Langley of our wastewater program and others from our Boston office in terms of our water programs. And we also have representatives of from each of our regional offices. Again, we believe it's important that everybody is hearing the same information, and if there are issues that require follow-up, that we're all able to move expeditiously from this point onward. So we're also very fortunate in these calls that we are joined by EPA Region 1. I believe Denny Dart is on the line. And Denny, if you would unmute yourself and provide any updates you'd have from EPA, we'd certainly welcome that.
Hi, this morning I was actually able to get on Zoom. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, very good. I have a couple of things to tell you about. So for starters, EPA has been putting together a lot of compliance assistance webinars for utilities, drinking water and wastewater. And so I will put in the chat a link to a course that's coming up on November 17th. It's the microbiology of wastewater treatment, life in the aeration tank, bacteria, protozoa, and metazoa. And then in addition, I've shared a copy of a flyer with Kathy that she can put online to share the courses that are coming up. And then in addition, I'll post a link to a press release that EPA released since our last meeting. It's not just this week, but it's a couple weeks ago. And it describes EPA and CDC's work with the state of Ohio and some Ohio utilities to develop a method for, much like the BioBot method, a method for detecting COVID-19 in wastewater. One benefit is it doesn't cost anything. This press release also discusses the voluntary survey that EPA has been sending out to help assess the challenges that wastewater utilities are facing. So that's it for today. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Denny, and thanks for that information. I know one thing on our call with the drinking water suppliers, I guess there was a cyber attack on a utility that a number of authorities have wanted to make sure that utilities are aware of, you know, to make sure that, again, other systems aren't affected by it. It's the Water ISAC that has been putting out a lot of information. And I believe, Kathy, you have some material that you can put into the chat on that, just as a heads up to people, so that, you know, they've probably gotten the notice from a bunch of different authorities, but just in case, we committed to sharing this information as well.
Yes, I'll do that right now.
Okay, thanks. So one of the other things we did also want to highlight, and I believe Kathy was putting something in the chat on this as well. I understand we do have the opportunity to get some more cloth masks. I think New Hampshire had a surplus of masks that it received from the federal government. So as you recall, last summer we put together DEP and a number of you that participate on this call We put together a number, you know, an effort to distribute over 56,000 cloth masks, and we have the ability to get some more. It won't be that big a number, but we are looking to take New Hampshire up on its offer, and we are putting together another effort. I believe Kristen Diveris of our resilience office has been in touch with a number of entities, and we have information up on our website if communities are interested or systems are interested in getting masks and also helping us distribute them. So Kristen, I didn't know if you were on this call and would like to say anything to this group about the effort to gather and distribute these masks.
Sure. Good morning, everyone. This is Kristen Diveris. DEP is finalizing the mask request numbers that have been coming in, and we're preparing for pickup and transport of 20,000 masks from New Hampshire to go to each of the 10 points of distribution or pod locations throughout the state that we have confirmed already. We've received requests from 162 water utilities at this point, covering over 3,600 staff. So similar to the previous rounds that, DEP and our partners went through, that's over 18,000 masks that we'll be able to distribute at about five masks per person. So if you're in need of masks and you have not submitted a request to DEP, I saw that Kathy put in the chat the link. Please get your request in as soon as possible. That survey is closing on Friday, this Friday. So obviously do it before then. And once those numbers are finalized this week, systems can expect to hear directly from those pods about their pickup logistics. So happy to answer any questions.
Commissioner, I just wanted to raise one point. On the line today is Tom O'Donovan, my counterpart, who's who oversees, you know, the water resources programs in New Hampshire, New Hampshire DES. And so we can thank him directly for the masks. So thanks from the Commonwealth. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, I let me echo that. Thanks. That's a terrific thing. And I know we'll make good use of them. And as you can see, we're already thinking about how to get them into people's hands as quickly as possible. So thank you very much, Tom, and thanks to you and your colleagues for making this available to us.
Our pleasure, Commissioner. Thank you.
Great. So with that, we are also fortunate that we have on these calls John Murphy, who's the head of our Board of Licensure. And I was wondering if John might be willing to provide us some updates. And there he is. I see him. This is my first time able to get my video to work as well. So it's nice to hear and see you, John.
I figured I'd put a face to it this morning. Just a brief update from the board. Wastewater applications continue to come in and being processed in a timely fashion. So, you know, keep submitting those as necessary. The exam sites are all up and running. So there shouldn't be much issue scheduling an exam. If you do, please just notify me and we can work our way through that. And the big point of emphasis I'd like to make on the call, I've been getting a lot of questions on TCH requirements for the end of the renewal period. 20 TCHs are gonna be required at the end of December 31st, 2021. There's lots of training available. EPA is putting out weekly webinars. The wastewater MOEA is putting on quarterly meetings. NUI is putting on monthly stuff. The NUI PIC training calendar is coming out for the winter in a few weeks. So there's plenty of training opportunity with vendors, safety training. So if you are speaking to a facility near you or nearby that may not be on these calls, please just let them know that the training requirement will not be adjusted. So that's it from the board. Thanks, Commissioner.
All right. Thank you, John. Appreciate the update. I have a few things before we turn it open to any questions or comments we get. First of all, you know, we've gotten this question, and it came up in the drinking water meeting we had yesterday about, you know, thinking ahead about vaccines and how they'll be distributed. You know, folks are, you know, trying to think about who, how the priorities will go for essential workers for the vaccines. You know, should one, you know, hopefully be developed in the near future and distributed. That is a question we're going to be following up with our command center on. Similarly, people were asking about updates to the travel orders with regard, to people traveling out of states to the states that are considered high risk. I have not heard that there were any updates that were being planned, particularly with regards to the quarantining requirements, but we'd agreed to ask on that. A third area that I think we're all paying attention to, it's come up and we've had a little bit of anecdotal information, is the issue of supplies. You may recall last year, this year, but earlier in the pandemic, in the spring, there was some concern about certain supplies like oxygen or PPE. And we've gotten questions about whether or not there are certain, you know, chemicals in the supply chain that we're hearing about shortages on. There was some anecdotal information about CO2 in certain states. I don't think we or EPA, and I won't speak for Denny if she's heard otherwise, but at least on the drinking water side, I think it's a great question. I think we all want to stay in touch. And if you are experiencing shortages or hearing that it may be more difficult, let us know. We are obviously interested because both at the federal level, EPA, and us at the state level, if we were hearing that something might be coming up, we would be identifying that with the command center and others who work on emergency response to give us as much notice and time to work on it as possible. So if there is anything that you want to bring up during the discussion portion of this, please let us know. Financial, we talk when we're together to see whether or not there's anything new on the stimulus side. I'm sure everybody saw the same thing that I was seeing in the paper, in the media, is there was not a third federal stimulus bill before the election. Obviously, the election results are going on right now. We'll see what comes after that, and do our best to keep in communication and keep posted. So we'll follow up on that. So with that, I think I'm also looking for an update on our bigger, you know, our colleagues in the public health side are talking about doing a broader, wastewater surveillance program. They put out some procurement documents this summer. I was kind of hoping I'd have an update for this meeting. I haven't gotten it quite all the information back yet. So when we do get it, we will share it with you. And obviously, if anybody has anything they want to bring up with their own surveillance efforts, then we would certainly welcome that in this discussion. So with that, I think those are all of the updates I have. I don't know if there are any questions that have come in through the chat or through email to Kathy, but we'll pause here and see if there is.
I don't see any questions through the chat. I do see a big thank you, New Hampshire. and I did post some of the upcoming EPA webinars that were emailed to me, and we can post it online also, but you have the links in the chat. I haven't seen any questions, however. Oh, wait, here's a question. What's the latest on the virus in wastewater?
Yeah, the latest on virus and wastewater, again, we know the MWRA is doing a lot of surveillance work, as are other communities that are part of this discussion that are individual, that have individual arrangements. As I've noted, I think the state is looking at a bigger statewide effort that our colleagues at, in the Department of Public Health are working on, but I don't have any updates right now. I think they're still in the process of procuring the services. So I don't know if anybody from any of the communities that are engaging in it, I saw, you know, a fair amount over the past month, you know, some news from Nantucket and some news from the MWRA communities, just the you know, the news media picking up on the results that were being reported out. So I don't know if any of those communities have anything they'd like to add. If so, unmute yourself and we'd welcome an update. Okay, sounds like no takers today, but if that changes, you know, obviously we'll share the information.
We have another question here. Can the EPA and MassDEP comment on the inclusion of PFAS testing that is starting to appear on draft NPDES permits?
Sure, and I might ask, you know, certainly I won't speak for EPA, you know, if Denny wants to make any comments, you know, that's fine. And I'll also ask Kathy and Leldon to supplement anything I would say in sort of the more general efforts. But as you know, we are taking a look here in Massachusetts at PFAS. We do now have a drinking water standard that was promulgated in early October, that went final in early October. And there's been a lot of emphasis and attention, and there will continue to be as systems now sample. But we've also recognized that people and you know, communities, PFAS is prevalent not only in, or you know, that needs to be looked at not only in drinking water, but we've had cases where we've received inquiries, there's been media attention. And we're mindful of the fact that, you know, what it does in terms of making its way to surface waters or, you know, other sources of water is important as well. So right now we do not have, you know, a surface water quality standards for PFAS. But like other states that are also dealing with PFAS, we are looking at it and we are starting to gather information on it. So what you'll see in some of the permits, and you know, we're obviously prioritizing it to identify permits that are near particularly important resources like drinking water sources, or in industrial permits that, you know, where it's likely that, you know, PFAS, you know, materials are being used, that we have started, you know, from the Massachusetts side, you know, asking for sampling to be done, and you know, so that we can get a better body of knowledge, so that it will inform us in terms of the types of decisions we will need to make with regard to a surface water standard. Again, we're still at the very beginning of it, but you know, the question rightly notes that we are starting to ask for some sampling, so that we can get a better body of knowledge about the prevalence of PFAS, where we're seeing it. We're also doing this in conjunction with our own work with the U.S. Geological Survey to sample, you know, ambient waters. You know, again, there's a lot of data we need to collect before we move forward with a standard and make sure that we fully understand, you know, what's going on with PFAS in the water, but we are starting to ask for it. And as we have been working with EPA in the revised permitting process, we have made comments in some of our water quality certifications. We've asked for sampling in a number of those permits and we'll continue to. So Denny, Well, let me ask maybe Kathy if there's anything I missed in that overview, and then we'll go to Denny.
No, I think that is it. We have we're paying special attention to, or more immediate attention to, those plants that are upstream of drinking water supplies. However, we're looking at all of them, industrial and municipal. We're working closely with the Office of Technical Assistance at EEA to have them provide technical assistance to those industries that use PFAS and discharge to surface waters or discharge to municipal systems. That's sort of an under the radar, non-regulatory program that's offered by EEA. And the riverine model monitoring is also important. So the whole thing, it's a data gathering effort right now with no standards associated, no effluent limitations associated with them.
And Denny, I, you know, again, mostly it's been a state requirement. I don't know if there's anything you want to add, but if there is, that would be a good time.
So actually, no, I was going to say, I don't really have anything to add. I actually work in the enforcement office. And so okay. I will reach out to the permit folks and see if there's anything they'd like me to share next month.
Okay, terrific. And okay, we obviously.
Commissioner.
Yes. Go ahead, Jay.
Hi, this is Jay Pimpari from EPA here. Just wanted to chime in on the NPDES permit side of the house. So a little bit more on that. EPA, as you know, draft permits that have started to go out as of roughly the July 1st, 2020 timeframe are now including in the EPA federal permits for the state of Massachusetts, the PFAS requirements. So those requirements are that the influent, effluent, and biosolids at the POTW needs to be sampled quarterly for the six PFAS compounds. I'll make note that sampling, and again, this is all in draft permits only. The sampling does not take effect until 6 months after EPA has a validated PFAS method for wastewater, and it's published in the through federal public notice, etc. Now, the million-dollar question: when are we going to have a PFAS method? Good question. I would say at the very, very earliest, it would probably be late spring 2021, but it's probably going to be after that. So if you add 6 months onto that earliest requirement, the earliest that these requirements would ever even kick in would be sometime probably January of 2022. So again, this is not something that's going to happen overnight. It's well over a year away. There are no numerical values there. It's just reporting only. So again, influent, effluent, and biosolids quarterly sampling. There is also a pretreatment component to that too. So all POTWs, if you have industries that fall in one of the many industrial sectors like metal finishing, plating, textile, landfill, leachate, et cetera, those industries must be sampled annually by the POTW, again, for those six PFAS compounds. So there's a POTW, influent, effluent, biosolids, but there's also a pretreatment component of this. But again, it's in all POTW permits that are going out in Massachusetts, but we're looking at minimum, a year away from these requirements even taking place. And it's probably going to be a lot longer than a year. That's my earliest guess.
And Commissioner, I'd just like to add a little bit more to Jay's comments. And thank you so much, EPA, for commenting on the timetable. As you know, there are two permits. One is from the federal government and one is from the state. And so they're generally fairly parallel. And there's a lot of similarities on the PFAS side. However, the state is requiring the monitoring to occur sooner than EPA. So in general, it's when the methodology is available, as Jay said, or in 2 years, whichever is sooner. However, if the discharge is above or upstream of a drinking water supply, then we are looking for the influent, effluent, and sludge monitoring to begin 180 days after the effective date of the permit. So that is a point, since you brought up the time frame, that is a distinction between the state and federal permits.
Yeah, good point. And first of all, thank you, Jay, for being on and clarifying the federal requirement. And Kathy, it is important. You know, first of all, you know, a couple of important points. It is, these are still draft permits and people have an opportunity to comment on it. Secondly, there is a period of time even after that, whether you're talking about the federal or state permit, where, you know, we're going to need to have an approved methodology in place and timelines. It seems to me like one of the things we can do, and I know we've been working on this, Kathy and Logan have been working on this, you know, with each of the permits that has the requirement, we're going to spell all of this out and make sure that people know that know what the requirements are. And we will be, updating this group regularly. There was a question that came in from Mickey Nowak right while I was talking. I did see it. The chat came up on my screen. This is very exciting, about whether or not we anticipate the state having an approved methodology before EPA. And we're all working on it. You know, again, I think, we've been spending a lot of time here in Massachusetts, thinking about PFAS. Again, our priority has been on drinking water. So, you know, wastewater is going to be, you know, some months out, consistent with what both Jay and Kathy said. But, you know, we are working on it. And, in terms of whether we get there before EPA or not, I don't know. I think a lot of people are taking a look at this, just given the interest in it. But we will keep everybody posted on that.
We did have a request for Denny, I don't know if you sent this to me already, but if DEP could post the paper on wastewater surveillance from Ohio that you referenced. If I didn't receive it, I'm sorry if I have lost track of it, then if you can send it to me, we can post it and I'll send it also to the person who's asked.
Okay, I'm happy to get that to you, Kathy. I don't have it right now at hand, but I'll get it.
Okay, super, thanks.
Great. Any other questions or comments? Well, if not, there are a few things. I suspect you'll be hearing from us in probably before our next monthly call, which will be in early December. But, there are things we will obviously update folks on if there's any new information with regard to the orders that govern, how travel restrictions, if we get more information on vaccines, if we're getting new information, assuming, Congress is taking up a stimulus bill, we would be sure to update you on that. We will share some of the information that we've talked about. Well, I guess a lot of it's already in the chat. I think given some of the interest we heard about, PFAS testing, we'll make sure that we're continuing to push out information on the permits and the timing. And again, we'll stay in touch on that. But with that, absent any other questions or comments, and I'll pause here to see if there are any.
And then I have not seen any others come in.
Okay, not hearing anything. We will get together again next month and, in this forum. And like I said, we'll make sure that we're staying in communication otherwise. So once again, thank you everybody for the really important work you're doing. And we look forward to continuing to coordinate with you in the days ahead. And I hope everybody is well and stays safe in these days and weeks ahead. Thank you.
Thank you.